And now, young Widder Brown. When her fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, telephoned Ellen Brown, demanding that she give up trying to help Jim Morrison redeem himself, Ellen came to a sudden decision. A decision which has now brought her to the home of her good friend, Mariah Hawkins. Mariah, busy in her kitchen, goes on working as Ellen sits down, sampling one of the cookies that's on the table.
These are really wonderful cookies, Mariah.
I'm making them for the fair. What table will you be at, Ellen?
Oh, I won't be at the fair, Mariah. I've asked Ann Baker to take my table.
Oh, after all the work you put in last winter, Ellen, getting things ready for that handwork table, now she'll get the credit.
Oh, I don't mind about that so much, Mariah.
Where are you going, anyway?
I'm going to drive up to see some people at Lake Mayo.
With Anthony?
No.
You're not well enough to drive there by yourself, Ellen. It's too soon after your operation.
No, I'm going with Jim Morrison.
Forevermore.
I can't not go, Mariah. He's much better than he was. He isn't drinking. And he wants to have me meet Dr. and Mrs. Humphrey.
Well, who are they?
They're the people Dr. Allison Shaw was with. Dr. Humphreys was the one who was supposed to operate on me.
Oh, yes. And he sent Allison Shaw in his place. Well,
You see, Mariah, the situation is this now. Allison Shaw had really persuaded Anthony to believe her side of the story about herself and her ex-husband, Jim Morrison. She's made Anthony believe it so completely that he quarreled with me about it rather bitterly. Which is his privilege, I suppose. But I simply won't give up what I think and believe about Jim, Mariah, because Allison is fighting me.
Ellen, what is more important to you, this man or Anthony? People have noticed that you and Anthony aren't going out together very much. People have asked me if anything is wrong.
Well, there's a great deal wrong, Mariah. Last night, Anthony called me and ordered me to drunk Jim. Well, I can't do that, Mariah. And I can't let Anthony feel that he has that much jurisdiction over me.
Ellen.
After all, I could be just as determined about his seeing Allison Shaw.
And I wish you would be. She's acting mighty much as if she owned Anthony Loring.
Mariah, I told you that Allison Shaw said to me very frankly that she feels her life would be complete with Anthony. And that she could give him great happiness. She was appallingly explicit, I think. But none of that can possibly touch what I'm doing.
Well, why in the world can't she make her own husband over?
For one reason, she isn't married to Jim anymore. And for another, if he were made over, she might feel responsible for him.
Oh, I declare, all I have to do is hear this kind of thing, and I think I did right to stay single.
Well, anyway, Mariah, I'm going up to the lake to meet Dr. and Mrs. Humphreys. It's something I have to do not only for Jim, but for myself.
All right. You go, then. And I'll take over at the house. Matter of fact, it'll probably do you a lot of good, Ellen, just to have somebody drive you through pretty scenery for a change.
I'm looking forward to it, Mariah, even though it's all tied up with a lot of problems.
When do you go?
This afternoon. Mrs. Humphreys, she sounds so very nice on the telephone. Talk to me this morning. If Jim and I leave at 2, we'll get there at 9, spend the night, and tomorrow, well, we'll see. Mariah, how vague can I be about coming back?
Oh, my land, Ellen. Come back when you feel like it. Your children aren't any trouble. And I think it might give everybody a lot to think about if you just weren't so available all the time.
Well, we'll see if it accomplishes anything, Mariah. There are two important things at stake. One is that I don't let Jim Morrison down. The other, that Anthony and I reevaluate our importance to each other. Maybe this trip of mine will do it. I don't know.
Meanwhile, at Health Center Hospital, Anthony is saying to Allison Shaw,
I've given Ellen an ultimatum, Allison.
I wonder, Anthony, if an ultimatum isn't enough to strengthen her decision to befriend Jim.
Well, I'm not doing it so that she'll stop befriending this man, Allison. I'm doing it because Ellen must realize that her first loyalty is to you.
Ellen has turned against me, Anthony, and there's no road back for her. Ellen can never trust me.
Why shouldn't she trust you?
Because her position is so equivocal. Ellen has no security. She's engaged to you, but before you comes everything else in her life.
Do you think that's so, Allison?
Yes. She should have married you long ago if she loved you.
In other words, you think that her loyalty to her children is another one of those things that proves she has very little real loyalty to me.
That's a very unattractive thing to say, but unfortunately, a very true one, as I see it.
Oh, dear. I wonder what there is about an unpleasant truth that almost automatically conceals itself. It's not a very conscious thing with me, refusing to believe that I'm not important to Ellen, and yet I'm sure it's the result of vanity.
Anthony, you're not vain. You're an important, brilliant man in your field, absolutely necessary to many people. Ellen should never take you for granted because you're so busy.
What should Ellen do?
Give you a home, a refuge from your work.
She can't do that.
Then she has no right to you.
No woman who works can do that. And Ellen has for years supported herself and her children. I think that that's what it is.
I'd give up my career tomorrow to take care of the man I loved, Anthony.
You didn't for Jim Morrison.
I didn't love him.
When did you find that out?
After I'd been here a while. It made me see that there is peace and happiness in the world.
Well, Allison...
After I met someone else, Anthony. After I found out what a man could be like. A man with self-respect, brilliance, and a feeling of dedication.
Anthony knows that Allison is dangerously near saying something that he might not want to hear. And now, a little later... Ellen, carrying a small suitcase, walked down her pathway to where Jim Morrison had parked her car.
Am I to drive, Ellen?
Please, Jim. I'm not too sure of my driving yet.
Let me have your bag.
Thank you.
Why didn't you want me to come in the house?
I don't know.
Why are you standing there? Waiting for the telephone to ring?
How did you know?
You have such a listening look.
Jim... I wonder how right I am to do this.
Well, don't do it at all if you have any doubts.
Oh, I have doubts only about myself and Anthony.
Are you afraid you're leading him to Allison? Are you feeling that you should stand and fight for him?
Not with the way things are, no.
Well, then, come along. Come back with a fresh outlook. Ellen, it'll help me very much if you come and talk to these people about Allison, wouldn't it? Please do.
No, I'm going to do it, doesn't it?
Mrs. Humphrey and the doctor are anxious to know about Ellen.
Well, I can tell them very little.
We'll see. Yeah. Have a look.
Very. There we are.
We're off.
Yep.
Jim.
Yes?
You've come to know a great deal about Anthony and me. Do we strike you as being two people in love with one another?
No.
It didn't take you long to answer that, Jim.
Of course not. I think you've been in love with one another, yes. But I think it's a love that's needed the fulfillment of marriage. And without that, dwindling into tolerance, friendship, custom.
I've often wondered how we strike other people. Whether we let ourselves feel too safe. I'm safely engaged to Anthony. Anthony is safely engaged to me. And so we avoid problems with other people until the problems become completely present.
Ellen, people have to have a common cause to fight for, to live for, if they're in love. You and Anthony have nothing out there.
Is that why we quarrel over you and Allison?
I'm afraid so.
I wish...
Don't wish anything, Ellen. Go out and do something with your life. Make your adjustments. Make your decisions. Do something yourself. Stop being Anthony Loring's fiancé. That isn't enough for you, Ellen. You should be more than that.
Jim, what more can I do?
A saver of men's souls. Like mine. Anthony doesn't need you, Ellen. I do.
Ellen makes no reply. And if she drives along with Jim, she cannot know that a very similar situation has been reached by Anthony. Will this mean a forced reevaluation of their meaning for one another, for Anthony and young Widder Brown?